Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you find your notes, we're going to conclude this morning the series we've been doing called Friend Request. Friend Request. We've used as our theme verse Luke 16:9. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they'll welcome you to an eternal home. So that means that you and I are to use everything we have and everything that we are to touch people's lives. And that when we do that, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a great place. And so we're going to look at this morning this theme called expressing love. Expressing love. This is hard for us. It's really difficult. And in a sense, we've come full circle because we begin with saying the friends are the people that come into your life and come across your path that we have an opportunity to influence for God. And so we're always open to whoever God brings in our way to be a friend of them. And no matter what happens, we will reach out to others. Now, you never know what's going to happen when you reach out to other people, do you? Never do. Heard the story about a woman who was standing at a bus stop. And she had just cashed her tax refund check, and so she was carrying a little bit more money than usual, and she was a little nervous about that and a little on edge, and she glanced around and noticed a shabbily dressed man standing nearby. She tightened the grip on her purse a little bit, and as she watched, she saw a man walk up to him, hand him some money, and whisper something in his ear. And she was so touched by that act of kindness that she decided to do the same thing. And so in a burst of generosity, she reached into her purse, took out a $10 bill, and handed it to the man, and whispered to him, "Never despair. Never despair." The next day, she came to the same bus stop and noticed that there he was again, the same man. But this time, he walked over to her and handed her $110. Dumbfounded, she asked, "What's this?" He said, "You won, lady. Never despair, paid 10 to 1. You just never know, do you? You just never know. Well, today we're going to look at a story, and we're going to look at how Jesus modeled this for us. In Luke chapter 8, verse 40, it's there in your notes, follow along with me. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. And then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. And as Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. And a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd's pressing up against you." And Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." And when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and told him, "Your daughter's dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But then Jesus heard what had happened. He said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith and she'll be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, James, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing. He said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. And Jesus took her by the hand, said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned, and she immediately stood up, and Jesus told them to give her something to eat. And her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. In our story today, there's two very different kinds of people. One is a man, the other is a woman. One is an outcast, poor, unknown, unwanted. The other one is well-to-do. He's doing well. He's influential. He's rich. He's the ruler of a synagogue. And yet Jesus treats both of them with great friendship and kindness and love. He treats them all the same. And from that, we can learn something today. So let's look at some things that you and I can take out of this that Jesus modeled for us that we can put into practice in our life so that we can touch people's lives as friends. Number one, he expressed love through paying attention to them. He's in a place where it's difficult. He's going one way. He's in a crowd. People are waiting, pushing, demanding. And suddenly somebody walks up to him and says, "My daughter's dying. I need your help." And he changes direction. As he's going, someone touches his robe and he stops what he's doing and ministers. You see, Jesus was willing to be interrupted. So here's the simple question. How well do you handle interruptions in life? How well do you deal with things when it seems like you've got things to do and people to see and places to go, and suddenly there's someone who's demanding that you stop and go another direction? That's hard for us, isn't it? It's really difficult. But you know what I've learned over the course of time? Often the interruptions in our life are God's doing. Many times God wants to stop us. He's going with Jairus, an interruption. He stops, another interruption. Everything changes because he needed to pay attention to them. There are people that we come in contact with every day who are wanting attention. They're wanting someone just to stop and take notice. In fact, in this room today, everyone wants attention. Everyone wants somebody to notice. Everyone wants somebody to be willing just to stop. In fact, as a parent, what you learn with your kids is a very simple process that they go through. They want attention. Now, they'll try to get your attention by doing some good things. And if they can't do good things, then they'll do bad things to get your attention. After all, bad attention is better than no attention. And so we grow up in life wanting this attention and wanting things to happen. And then as we get older, we forget that everybody wants attention. And we tend to get disgusted with people who are around us who want our attention. We think they're a nuisance. We think they're a bother. Oh, that person, they just want some attention. Well, of course they do. Don't we all? How many friends do we miss because we just don't want to be bothered? How many people walk by us and we don't see because we're just not paying attention? How many times do we miss out because we're just so busy? We've got things to do. We got places to go. And we don't have time to give people the attention they need. And in this story today, what we find is Jesus, who is in the midst of crowds, going somewhere, going another direction, and being willing to still stop. He paid attention. And let me apply it to us today. I don't care what you're going through or where you're at. God's paying attention to you. He knows. He hurts. He knows. Don't think for a moment that he doesn't care. Don't think for a moment that he's not noticing. He is paying attention to you. And sometimes for us, it's a very impersonal world. But Jesus stops in the midst of the crowd and gives people attention as though they're the only one there. And he's still doing that today, isn't he? He still is. Still is. Secondly, he expressed love through affirmation. Through affirmation. He responded to their need. You see, you got two interesting people here. You got a man who's wealthy, who's got a very, very high position, has status in life. But you will learn something over the course of time is that money can't buy happiness. Money can't protect you from death. Money doesn't always get you the things you want in life. Status doesn't always reward you with the things you want to be rewarded with. And then there's the woman, the outcast, the unclean, the untouchable, who had nothing and no one wanted to be around her, still dealing with the same issues because he accepted them as they were. And how were they? They were needy. Needy. Now, if you've been married for any length of time or if you know people, have you ever said to someone, you know what, you're just so needy? Okay, you have. Good. Aren't we all? We're just needy people, aren't we? If it's not one thing, it's something else. If it's not this, it's that. Well, I need this, and I need this, and I want that, and I got to have this. And you know, he didn't make fun of their need. He didn't just blow it off and say, it'll be okay. He didn't just walk away from it. He didn't diminish it. He affirmed them as they were in his presence. He affirmed them by doing what he could to help them. And many times the best thing you can do to affirm somebody is just to listen to them. Just to listen. Many people are looking for someone who will just listen to them. Who'll just stop for a moment in a busy world and just listen. How many people do you know are looking for someone who'll just listen? We affirm people when we listen to them. But here's the problem. We not only get in such a hurry that we don't have time to give them attention, we also don't have time to listen. And sometimes we're on the other side of this and we're thinking, well, you know what, you can listen to me all you want. I can tell you all I want. You can't help me. You can't do anything about this. I don't know what I'm going on. But it feels good for us to be able to explain where we're at. And as we went along, Jesus, listen to Jairus. Here it is. I'm going to respond. The lady, he stops. What is she doing? He listened to her. The crowd listened to her. Everyone listened to her. And he wasn't in such a hurry that he couldn't stop. And when we affirm people, we affirm them when we accept them as they are and listen to them as they are. And that's what it takes to make a friend. Just someone who's willing to stop for a moment. Just someone who's willing to have a short conversation. Just someone who's willing to say, I care. Now, here's the great thing about this. God's still listening to you today. Now, it might seem like he's not, because here's what you have to understand. We think somebody listens to us when they do what we tell them to do. Right? We think somebody listens to us when they give a solution to our problem, right? Sometimes I found myself listening to people and you know what? I wish I could do something. I don't know what to do. I can listen. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to go through to listen. Now God's got answers, but he wants to listen to you. And what you have to understand is God is more concerned about helping you grow than he is about in relieving your problems. And God says, look, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I hear you when you cry. I want to help you. And the best way I can help you is to help you understand that what you need most in life is me. And I'll be there. And I'll listen to you. And I'll take care of you. And I don't want to interrupt that process. I want you to lean on me. I want you to come to a place just as these two people did in this story when, you know what? I'm at the end of my rope and God's all I've got. And if you come to that place, God would say, good. Right? Good. He affirmed them. He listened to them. He understood their need. He let them know that. He paid attention. He listened to what they had to say. Thirdly, he expressed love by allowing his power to flow. Power. Now, there's an interesting thing, dynamic going on here. Jesus is walking through the crowd. His disciples are with him. And Jesus stops suddenly in the middle of this crowd and said, who touched me? Now, the disciples are going, ooh, not me. You know, they were afraid. Yeah, there's a lot of people here, Lord. Come on, don't be so paranoid. Nobody's trying to pick your pocket. It's okay. You know, that's how we would be, right? Who touched me? Oh, yeah, we get so afraid of people. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Who touched me? No, somebody touched me. And suddenly the lady speaks up and says, me. Me. And he looks at her, he listens to her story, and he says, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Now, please understand something. We're told something in this story that's very important. 12 years she struggled with this. Now, this won't be good news for a pastor. I don't want 12 years. Don't tell me I got to go 12 years. But here's what you pick up from this. 12 years, and yet she still held out hope for an answer. 12 years, and yet she still believed she was going to get the help she needed. And Jesus looks at her and says, you're well. You're well. How do you know somebody touched him? How do you know that? Well, we're told power went from him. Now, let me ask you a little simple question. Have you ever been with somebody and you walked away from them and go, man, that was exhausting. Boy, being around them just drains you. Any of you ever been there? Yeah. Yesterday, right? Never mind. Hope it's not. Okay. Here's the deal. People will drain you. But hear me. As a Christian, do you have something to give them? You should have, right? You and I should be able to touch other people's lives through paying attention, through just noticing, through listening, that we have something to give to them and power can come out of us. That we have something to help. Have you ever been dreaded being around somebody and thinking, oh man, I don't want to be around them. You know, the holidays are not too far away and Christmas, oh, I got to be with the family. Oh, that's just, oh, I'm just so tired. Oh, it's just so horrible. Oh, it's just, oh no. Don't you have something to give to them? You see, we get selfish with what we have and we want to keep it, don't we? We think that if we keep it, we can store it up. But the principle of Scripture is, and the principle of Christianity is this. God gives me power. God gives me something so that I can give it away. And when I give it away as a Christian, he then replenishes my supply. And so that I never am exhausted and drained and out without anything, because God keeps filling me back up. And if I'm drained from people and people are just taking everything out of me and I've got nothing left, hear me, please hear me. It's not the people's fault on this end. It's the fault on this end that you're not allowing God to resource you and to replenish you with his might and his power. And Jesus recognizes, you know, it's there. Power's flowing. Who touched me? Great news today. In the midst of your need, God's touchable, and he has something to give you. And his power is still the power that we have need of, and his strength is still the strength that we need. And you and I can go to a God who is touchable, and when we touch him, he helps us. He provides for us. He takes care of us. He ministers to us. So that we have something to give to others. Therefore, we can enjoy the presence of people, knowing that yes, people are going to drain, yes, people are going to take out of, but God gives back. And I want his power to flow. Next one. He expressed love by alleviating fear. By alleviating fear. One of the most quoted commandments in the Bible is don't be afraid. Whenever you are directed by fear in your life, that's not God. You and I, when we touch other people's lives, should inspire trust. Notice what he said to each one of these people. To the lady who touched him, he said, "Go in peace. Don't be afraid anymore." Remember, she was afraid to say anything. Go in peace. He told Jairus, what did he say to him? Don't be afraid. What keeps us from relationship with people? Fear. What's going to happen? What are they going to think? What are they going to say? How's it going to be received? What's going to go on? Jesus had a way of putting people at ease. And over again, he tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, we live in a society that cultivates fear. You listen to the news. You read what's printed. You talk to other people. Oh, man, things are horrible. The environment's melting away and not going to exist anymore. You know, we don't have enough food. There's going to be too many wars. Oh, let's not even get into the political issues. Fear, fear, fear. As Christians, we don't have to be afraid. Our presence should bring peace into other people's lives. You ever talk to somebody and after you're done talking with him, you walked away going, man, I'm afraid now. We should help and encourage people. We should not be creating more stress and distress. There's enough of that to go around. You and I, through our relationships, should make life better. You don't have to be afraid. God's going to take care of you. God's going to be there with you. And many times, what we need to know and what people need to know is just simply this. Look, I don't understand. I don't have all the solutions. I don't have all the answers. Yeah, I know it's hard and I know it's difficult. Yes, I understand the gravity of everything going on. But here's one other thing I know. With God, it's going to be all right. No matter what happens, all things do work together for good. No matter what happens, God is going to see me through this. No matter what happens, I'm not going to be alone with what I'm dealing with. No matter where I find myself, God will take care of me. I can make it. I can do it. I am not alone. And many times, that's what we need to know, and that's what people need to know. And you and I have the ability to touch other people's life and just try to encourage them. We're not being Pollyannish about it. We're not trying to, oh, don't worry about it. Oh, it's going to be okay. Oh, there's nothing going on. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, just don't. No, things are bad. Things do hurt. Life is hard. It is difficult. It is confusing. It is scary. But when you touch God, he turns to you and says, don't be afraid. Peace. Peace. And you and I have the privilege of stepping into other people's lives and somehow telling them, it's going to be all right. God will help you. You're going to make it. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's not over yet. But God's faithful. Don't be afraid. Those are words we all need to hear at times in our life, isn't it? Those are words that just matter a whole lot. And so he expressed his love by alleviating their fear. And today, God doesn't want you to be afraid. Yeah, but you're up against what I'm up against, Pastor. You don't understand. You know what? I probably don't. But I do know this. God will help. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what you're going through, God does everything he can to let you know he's there. Peace. Remember, he said, I give you peace, not as the world gives, but peace. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to abandon you. You're going to make it. And that's what we have to give others, because that's what God gives us, isn't it? And that's what Jesus demonstrated here. Last one. He expressed love by not needing acknowledgement. If you just read this story, there's a couple of humorous places in it, but there's things that pop out at me anyway when I read it. Think about this. He's healed the woman, so now he's walking with Jairus to his home. Now the girl, everybody knows she's dead, so the mourners have gathered, the neighbors have come, the town, the community is there. Influential man knows a lot of people, and so they're all there trying to comfort, grieving, wailing, crying. And Jesus walks into this situation and he says, "Stop crying, she's not dead." And what does everybody do? Probably the same thing you would do. The Bible tells us. They laughed at him. Idiot. Look at this guy. Who's he think he is? Of course she's dead. We all know that. And they laugh at him. You got it? So now he goes off by himself in the room. He takes five people with him, Peter, James, and John, mom and dad. Speaks to the girl, says, "Get up." And then he turns to the parents and says, "Don't tell anybody." Now, I don't know about you, but if it's me and I'd just done that, I'd take her back out and take the girl by the hand, take her back out to the crowd. "Look now, suckers, what's going on now, huh? How's this working for you? Look at this, huh? Laugh at me before. Well, like here, look at this." That's what I would do, right? That's what you would do, correct? He sneaks out the back door. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Because you see, God doesn't do it to get something in return. God ministers because he cares. He remained anonymous because, you see, love doesn't have to be acknowledged. You're willing to love whether somebody acknowledges it or not. Here's the deal. God loves you and cares for you whether you acknowledge it or not. And nothing you will ever do will ever stop God from loving you because he loves. And if you and I are going to be friends of others, we have to develop a mentality that says, you know what? I'm not doing this to be noticed. I'm not doing this to get recognition. I am doing this because God loves me, I love him, and therefore I love others, and I am willing to give of myself no matter what this person does. But too often we do something and it's not acknowledged. The friend doesn't respond as we want them to. The friend doesn't act in a manner, well, if that's the way they are and that's how they're going to show their care and that's what they're going to do after I do something for them, we write them off, don't we? Hello? You know, if you do something for someone and then you get upset because they don't do something for you, then you are not acting out of love. You're selfish, you're controlling, you're manipulating. And no matter what you do today, no matter what you've ever done, God will always love you. And nothing you do will ever stop that. Nothing you do will ever cause him to say, "That's enough, I've had it." Nothing you do will come to a place where he will say, "No more." And no matter where you find yourself today, and no matter how many times you've found yourself there, God says, "I still care. I'm still willing to listen. I still love you. I always will." God loves. There's a story about some construction workers who were building a high rise next to a hospital. And as they were working on the third floor, they noticed a little girl standing in the third floor window of the hospital watching them work. One day they looked across and saw the little girl hold up a poster that said, "My name is Lisa. What's your name?" Well, the next day they got some poster board and a magic markers, and they all wrote down their names. And when she came to the window, they said, "My name is Bob, and my name's Bill, and my name's Harry. How old are you?" The next day, the little girl held up a sign that said, "I'm 7 years old. How old are you?" Well, this went on for several days back and forth, and one day they noticed that Lisa wasn't at her usual place in the window, and so at break time, one of the workers called the hospital and asked for the third floor nurse, and he asked if she could tell him anything about her. The nurse said, "Well, she's taken a turn for the worse, and now she's in intensive care." So the workers pooled their money, bought some flowers and a card, wrote a note, and sent it to her in intensive care. Several days passed, and then another sight appeared in the window. Lisa passed away. "Thank you for caring." You see, all the world wants is somebody to care. And you and I can do that. That's what God does for us. Why? Because that's what God's like, isn't it? I'm willing to stop. I'm willing to realize that the most important things in life are not things. It's people. And I'm willing to give of myself because I have something to give because God has given me so much. And we need to learn to express love to one another, to have friends, because we serve a God who has expressed his love to us through Jesus Christ. He offered him as a sacrifice for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he's still giving. And he still cares. And he's still listening. And he's still reachable and touchable. And he wants you to know you don't have to be alone. No matter where you're at in life, he's there to see you through it. And today, you and I have the opportunity to have all kinds of people in our lives, people that come across our path every day, who are just needing somebody who will just stop for a moment, give them a little attention, and listen. Just listen. And who will be willing to express care and bring peace and speak hope and just love. Because God's still doing that today, isn't he? He still is. And this morning we get to take communion. And it's the reminder to us of the love of God. And how that you and I, as we hold these elements in our hands, serve a God that's touchable. Serve a God who cares. Serve a God who loves. Who's a friend of sinners. Who's our friend. And you and I can be the friend of others, can't we? And that's the God we serve. And that's how you express love.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.